watch your son die in our place. And God, you are more than worthy of our praise, but our praise should be given to you. And Father, as we gather around your throne this morning, as we come and we sit at your feet and listen to the words from your precious book, God, may your words do more than just penetrate our mind, but Father, may, as your word promise, pierce our soul asunder. May it stir us if needed. May it convict us if needed. But Father, we know it's going to bless us because that's your promise. And God, as we study together today, may you be glorified and honored in all that is done. God, we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As we get into our study this morning, going back into the book of Mark, and as we go back that way, we're going to look at some teaching, a teaching mission. Interesting enough, whenever we look into scriptures and we begin to dive into a portion of scripture, there's always more to it than just that context that we're looking at. And we're going to see that today. Because the last time we were here, and again, I appreciate Eric jumping in there through the Nehemiah and talking about the leadership and how important it is. But getting back into where we left off last 2 weeks ago was when Christ was rejected in his hometown. And we understood and saw that sometimes people look at you and they don't see anything beyond what they knew of you instead of seeing the change that God has done. And all more important for you and I to live that godly life so that they can see that change. And so we have now a sort of a new era where Christ now is still ministering in Galilee, and now he wants to minister to more people than what he can minister to, humanly speaking. And so he wants to send out his 12. So sending out the 12 was more than just something he wanted them to accomplish. There is of unbelievable, valuable lessons as they go. And hopefully we can be clear on them today as we can apply them to our lives, because I think it's the same concept. Listen, has God given you a mission today? Every one of us. And that mission, does it ever quit? Well, when you quit breathing, maybe. Other than that, man, as long as God gives you breath, you ought to be hallelujah, amen, and going for it. You ought to be going for whatever mission God has been placed. And the mission he's given all of us is exactly what he's sending out these men to do. Preach repentance. Talk about my son. Everywhere we go, we should have an opportunity to talk about Christ somehow in the conversation. Listen, it's not hard in the evil world we live in. People wanting to see hope, people wanting to know what it looks like to have something beyond the craziness in their eye, in front of their eyes. We have that. It's called Jesus Christ. We can share that hope everywhere we go. And I'll tell you, I'm excited about this simply because it is so relevant today. But I want to give you a little bit of a statement and also a little bit of wet the tongue for next week. Because in the middle, this is like a bookend study. Because it begins in chapter 6, starting with verse 7 through 13, and then it picks back up again in verse 30. What happened in between? John the Baptist is killed. John the Baptist is beheaded in between. We're going to look at that next week. And I want to just share a little bit about the importance of that. Because when they are going now, and we'll see some of this as we study through, as they're going on now preaching, repenting, in Christ, or repenting needed, it's John the Baptist's message they're preaching. Christ isn't dead yet, is he? They can't be preaching about the cross. It didn't happen yet. So you have to understand, when they're going out preaching that repentance is needed, repentance, you got to repent. You got to repent to God. That's all that John the Baptist said. And he baptized, in fact, in that mindset of repentance. Baptizing did not get anybody saved. It still doesn't today. Baptizing someone does not secure them into heaven before they understand. Baptism is only something that you and I experience, and we do. Why? Because God changed us. And I want to show everybody in the world, something just happened to me. My inside got clean. as portrayed by the baptism, buried with him in likeness, raised to the newness of life. And I'm going to tell you that this new life is fun. It's got some hurts along the way. It's got some bumps and bruises. It's got the effect of living in this world in our life, which we're all going to have. But what we see in this lesson and what we're going to see is that John the Baptist's message never stopped, even though he was dead. You see, it's a foreshowing of Christ. Christ is going to, shortly in history, is going to die. His disciples are going to still have to carry on, what? The salvation message. It's a shadowing of what's coming. It's a shadowing of saying, John the Baptist's message was repent and be saved. And the same message these 12 men are going to go out, repent and be saved, is the same message that didn't stop when we get to verse 30, just because the man who started it died. And that whole concept of John the Baptist dying, man, we're going to do some pretty serious studying. Because I think we're going to find John the Baptist next week in the same place that you and I may find ourselves in when life doesn't go and is not the way we think it is. And we say, God, remember I'm here. God, remember when I'm, God, do you see what I'm going through? And that's exactly where we're going to find John the Baptist next week. Let's go back to today, huh? See, I didn't preach last week. I'm so excited. I got two of them going. When we look at the test, what we see, the lessons that are going to be given, we see the mission is going out. So we find, first of all, the first lesson is God will provide. It's a valuable lesson that these men needed to know as they went on this journey. It's also a valuable lesson that they needed to know after Christ died. And listen, it is a valuable lesson that you and I need to know every day of our life. God is going to provide. And I'm afraid to say that even in my life, and I think all of our lives, we do not live like we trust that. How many of you live like you really trust God's going to provide? How many are you willing to, and again, God's not asking us to do what he asked these 12 to do. We'll see through the Greek, it's a very specific mission for a specific reason. So just because you know Christ doesn't mean you have to give up everything you own. But what it means is that do you really trust that God is going to provide? We have a hard time with that living in a very blessed nation, don't we? We have a hard time with that with living in our portfolios and our bank accounts and our two freezers full of meat and, you know, when we can't find it or we lose it. And I know Kim coming on the scene in my life 13 years ago, she often, as she helped me clean up the garage and other things in the house that desperately needed it, why do you have three of these? Why do you have four of these? Well, it's easier just to go buy another one. It's to find the one I had. We live in a blessed nation, don't we? We live in America, and sometimes living in the blessing stops us from understanding the need of living like God will provide, because we lose our God in all that. So this valuable lesson that they're going to learn, let's begin in verse 7. And he called unto them, the 12, and began to send them forth two by two. And he gave them power over the unclean spirits and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but shod in sandals and not put on two coats. So let's look at a little bit about this list. First of all, two by two. It was practical and it was a legal term according to God. John 8:17 says the same thing. In two, you say that in two witnesses there is truth. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6. It's when God first introduced and among the truth and not truth. When there are two or three witnesses, there is truth. When there is only one witness, there is no truth. I'm not sure what that spoke about the guy who come up with it. But there was a biblical thing in this. It was something that was practiced. It was something that they understood. And it's something that as these men went forward into the homes or into the cities, that they would have expected two people to come tell them about the repentant message. So it's very practical, but yet it's also legal. It's a thing that was there very clearly that they did. Now, the next thing, a part of this lesson of God will provide, is going as God's representatives. You see, when it says here, and he called unto them the 12 and sent them forth two by two and gave them power to the unclean spirits, he did that specifically to them, specifically for them. So he's going as God's representative. And what that means, as it did then, today, when you go as a representative, what we first realize, there's three things about this that we need to understand. First of all, they're going as if it was Christ himself. When you go and represent somebody, does your opinion matter? We like to think not. Sometimes it does. Sometimes you put it out there anyway. Does your thought process have anything to do when you go represent someone else? Absolutely not. Boy, do you think we got away from that a little bit today? When we are here representing Christ? When we are here as Christ ambassadors, we're here telling everybody about, listen, I got a Savior that saved my life. He wants me to go tell you about him, but I'm going to talk more about me. I'm going to talk more about my woes and my issues and my problems in life and man alive. You know, by the time you're done with that conversation, a person's going to look at you and say, and God's doing what for you? You know, what is God doing for you? Listen, as his representative, the only thing we should be talking about is his message. The only thing we should be talking about is repent and be saved. Our message is the same as it was for them before the cross, as it was after the cross. Repent and be saved. It's the way in which it's now Christ's blood on the cross, his coming alive from the tomb, his ascending into heaven, and telling his disciples, this is now your great commission. Go ye into all the world. Preach, teach, go to everyone. And he still has that commission for you and I, don't we? Are you one of his disciples today? If you are, listen, you got a mission. You have been commissioned by God to do this. So going as his representative, the need to learn the lesson, God's going to provide. Why? Because you're going and speaking for me. If you, long as you go and speak for me, God's going to be involved in it. Listen, I don't think God's really going to back your story as much as he'll back his story. No matter how glamorous you want to make yourself look, you ain't going to beat God's story. So we need to be talking about his story. The second one, to fill a special mission. We see that by he gave them power over unclean spirits. You see, the Spirit of God was not in them yet, correct? The Spirit of God hasn't come yet. We need to get ourselves back in the timeline. The Spirit of God has not come yet. Those in Acts chapter 2 and beyond had the Spirit of God. So God, Christ, gave them this special power for this special mission. That's very important. Why? Because you and I cannot do his representing without him. You and I cannot go talk about Christ unless we've experienced him, unless we know who he is. Has everyone here gone through something in their life where God has just, I mean, God is just, and when I say God has shown up, don't send me bad letters. I say that sometimes and I get comments, oh, you know, God's always there. Yeah, I know. But you know when God shows up is when I shut up and get out of the way. Because he's always here. I don't see him. I don't know him. I don't sense his presence because I'm too busy telling my own story. I'm too busy telling my own deal. So these men, right off the get-go, when you're going out two by two, you got to remember that you're going out representing me. I'm giving you the special power so that it'll authenticate your message about me. And that's exactly what they were doing. God gave them that power. Listen, we live in a day and age today where too many men think they are better than they are. We live in a day and age where, and I'll put the women in there too, women you think too better than what we really think we are. Do you realize what we would be if we haven't touched Calvary? Do you realize what we would be? Listen, there are many unsaved, successful people in our world, isn't there? There are many people that have all kind of money, all kind of toys, all kind of two or three houses, wherever they want to go. They got all that kind of stuff. But the interesting thing about that, that's all they have. That's all they're going to get. And you and I, we have something waiting for us that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, because God hasn't told us how great it's going to be yet. And so we have so much more that is awaiting us We have so much more that God is allowing us. If we stay his representatives, we're saved, we're his disciples. And so this lesson that God will provide, do you really think if God's going to send them out? Now remember, look at the list. It's interesting when you look at this list. They weren't allowed to take, again, some of this would make sense, some of this may not. They weren't allowed to take one staff, then no script, basically nothing to read, nothing to see, no bread, no money in their purse. All they were allowed was sandals and one coat, not two. And why two coats? They always had an extra garment at night when they would lay down, because if you ever noticed it over the Middle East, it gets very cold at night, very hot during the day. They'd have an extra blanket to lay over them. Basically, what God is saying is, I don't want you to take anything that's going to give you a little bit more comfort than what I'm going to provide for you. Listen, I'm not going to jumpstart too much, but when you go back down to verse 30, the apostles gathered themselves together. They all lived. They all made it through. Now, I'm not saying they ate, you know, filet mignon every day. I'm not saying they had the course meal. In fact, I'll pick on Joe. Joe put me on the greatest diet in the world. Wendy's 4 for $4, man. Kim says, can we go somewhere else for a while? Man, have 4 for $4. Less money, good food, it's all there, man. But anyway, they didn't have all of the stuff. But what they did have was provided by God. Now, when you think about that, where would you rather be? Now, I'm not saying all that stuff is wrong, but wouldn't you rather be in your mind knowing that you've been a faithful representative of Christ and everything you have, he provided? Not, you know, hey, I'm a successful man. I've done really well. My education is living through me. I'm doing well, and I've got money behind me to prove it. Well, there's too many eyes in that. When we realize, first of all, you're nothing without God anyway. But when we realize that we don't need to plan so far, we need to be good stewards. We need to plan, yes. We need to, as Scripture says in Proverbs, as the ants who stock and pile and provide and get ready for winter. We need to do that. But when we become more caught up in nothing else but, I think we've crossed that line. And so they were to go, and it's interesting when we see that. So interesting in what they were allowed to take and not allowed to take. But the second lesson we find is expect rejection. How hard is it for you today to be rejected by somebody? How hard is it for you to walk into a room of people and they all shut up and look at you? Listen, they could be talking about the football game, but you know they're talking about you. That's just the way it is. They don't have to be talking about you. You just know they are. Listen, I hate rejection. I don't like rejection. I try to live a life that nobody can get so mad at me that they reject me. But there's some people in this world that I just don't get along with. And that's life. Nobody likes rejection. They're going to learn a valuable lesson. Because you know what rejection does to you and me? It puts us in a state of mind where we say, why is it? It's not worth it. Puts us in a state of mind as, why bother? Puts us in a state of mind as, if I'm going to be rejected everywhere I go, then why waste my time? Rejection is a dart from Satan, not from God. Rejection is a dart from Satan that is going to come and whip at you. Why? Because you're going to give up. You're going to quit. It's not about the results. You see, rejection comes as results. If you don't have the results, you feel rejected, or people will actually reject you. So they're going to learn this valuable lesson. Look at verse 10. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide until ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Did you get all that? That's pretty serious stuff. And so what we're looking at is, when received, stay until you leave the town, or stay until you leave the city. So what there was, listen, they were not to go house to house begging. They were not to go and say, well, you know, and this is part of God's preparing, right? God providing, God had a family in every city that was waiting to accept these men. You think God could do that? Oh, man. Listen, God knows what your next month need is, and he's already working on preparing it. In fact, he knows what the rest of your life is, and he's working on preparing what you need. And so God said, listen, when you enter into a house, stay there for the duration. Don't go. So, and you know, I had a little bit of fun with this. You know how my mind, you know, it just doesn't stay still. So I'm looking at this, I'm saying, so if I was to go there, I would go into this house, and this house may be like a one-bedroom, small shanty. You know the tiny house thing they got going on now? Could be this little tiny house with five kids in it. I don't want to stay there. I already did that once. I ain't doing that again. But next door, whoo, is a really nice, they look like they got, I'll have the filet mignon if I stay there. You know, God said, no, you go to the house I prepared. Do you think that would have affected their ministry if they went somewhere else? I do. I think in your life and my life, God gives us ministries. And when we tell God we're not capable, we tell God we're not able, we tell God that this one's better, I'd rather do this than this. What we're doing is we're telling God that what you prepared for me, I got a better plan. I got a better idea. Boy, I tell you, that's dangerous ground to stand on, because now you're on your own. You're no longer representing God when you tell God you're not doing it his way. And so these men were to stay there. I think it's very important to pull that out, because they weren't able to go, or not supposed to go, to all these other places. They could have found a better home. They could have found a better location. But as soon as they went into a home, and this is what would, shalom, shalom malakam. Welcome, hello, and right back at you. They were to stay there until they left the town. So they did. So that was one of the requirements. That was, I think, a very valuable lesson. When God provides, be content with what he provides. Put that on your refrigerator, where you at sea most. What God provides, be content. I shared this Wednesday night. Kim and I had the privilege of going to a church down there where we were at. And the pastor said this phrase, and I'd never forget this phrase. The thing was phenomenal. The number one thing that will suck your joy out of your life is comparing your life with someone else. Like, wow, that hit home, you know? And so be content with what God has provided. Don't want somebody else's. Don't want something else. Don't want a different ministry. Don't want a better this, a better that. Listen, if God has provided it, there is no better. That better is only defined by man. It's not defined by God. And you may feel in your eyes, well, I'm not successful. I'm not doing right. Man, look what I got. I've got much. All these things. By whose definition? You see, man would look at some of our lives and say, man, you ain't successful. You don't got nothing. I don't know how you're going to do what you do. But you know what? I got what God provided me. That's all I need. You see, these men, what a valuable lesson that they're going to learn as they go through this. The next thing we find, when you are rejected, shake the dust off your feet. This is the hard one for you and I, but for them, it's relatively easy. If you're rejected, you need to just shake the dust off your feet. And what that means, that was a common custom of the culture. And in their culture, when they would walk into or walk around or walk through wherever Gentiles walked, the Jews would go through an area, and then they would turn and, I can't lift this leg yet, they would shake their foot, and that was a symbol to the Gentiles that we want nothing to do with you. We want nothing to do with you. You're rejected. You rejected me, I reject you. Now, that's not the biblical philosophy we're supposed to have. What we need to understand is what they were doing in Christ. Again, what are they doing? You go preach, repent, and be saved. And if they're going to reject you, they're not going to want you into this house. And I would love to know, and I'm going to ask Peter or somebody, how many houses did you visit before the one opened the door? I wish we knew that. Because there's a lot of time in your life and my life that we've been so discouraged until that one gold moment comes in and lifts us back up. There's been a lot of house doors we may have had to knock on or walk on and say, boy, God, I don't understand why you're doing this. God, what is this all about? And then you get that one person that just, it fires up for God, and it fires you up for God even more, and you get all excited about that. But then you got another 20 doors that say no. God is teaching, listen, when I provide, you shake the dust, don't let that get you. Don't let that bother you. Shake the dust off your feet, because the one I have prepared for you is still waiting. The best is still there. You know, when God says no to our prayers, it's because he's preparing a better yes. Don't complain when God says no, because he's preparing something far better than what we are praying for, than what we think. And so this is what God, the lesson, when you're going to get rejected, you're going to have that rejection. And when you get that rejection, listen, when they do receive you, stay. When they reject you, shake the dust off. Keep going. Keep moving forward. Don't ever quit. Why? Because you got a mission. You have been missioned by God to never stop telling and talking about his son. Key note on this, you are rejected because they rejected Christ. There's a lot of relationships that you may have because they don't want anything to do with you because they know who you believe in. They know who you follow. And that, I can remember one time when I worked back forever in ministry, and the guys that I worked with, you know, I worked in a dairy, made them little coffee creamer cups that y'all like to have in your coffee. Made thousands of them a day. Drove me nuts. But anyway, and the dairy, obviously sanitary, stainless steel walls, no windows. So you get the 4, 5, 6 guys working in this room running the machines. And you got to know each other really well. And so the one day they come in, it was a Monday, they come in and they were all talking about, man, wasn't that a great time this weekend? Wasn't that a blast? Man, I can't believe. And then some of the things they shared, I can't repeat because no. But anyway, as they were talking about all the things that went on, one man came up to me and he said, hey. He said, you're a good guy, but I just want you to know, we didn't invite you because we knew you would never come. Do you know what a compliment that was? I could have got mad. I could have said, man, I'm the only one here in this department that you didn't invite. But after I heard them talking in the background, I'm glad I didn't want to go. But you know, that to me teaches me when God provides, be content with what he provides. Don't want something different. Don't want something else. Don't want something better. God will provide with so many great things. We just need to be content in them. So the key note, when they reject you, they're rejecting Christ. And that's the testimony we want to have. The third lesson is the result belong to God. Let's look at verse 12, 13. And they went out and they preached the men should repent. And they cast out many devils and they anointed with oil, and many that were sick were healed, and they healed them. So we now have the lesson of the God's results. God gets them. Nowhere in the preparing and planning of this, the message, men should repent, is all they were given. They were given power by God to do special things to authenticate who their message was from. They would not have been able to speak, I think, as much authority if they didn't have the other power gifts that came with it. You and I don't need that today. We've got the Word of God complete. We've got lives changed. That's what God uses us. And so the message was men should repent. And so as they continued to speak this message, they continued to talk about how important this was and to continue to preach this message. And so the lesson is, and if don't come back until you have 100 each saved. That was never part of it. Don't come back until... No. God said, you go, you preach, let me know what happens. God already knew. He already knew that in the result that we see in verse 12 and 13, that many were sick, many were healed, many accepted Christ. God knew that. Why? Because the results are God's. They're not ours. And it's very clear as we see this, the message that men should repent, even today, you know, when you talk about rejection, you talk about the message of God, if you sit underneath the clear gospel message of Jesus Christ today and you reject it, God's sandal just wiped the dust of your life off. Oh, I have a free will. I'll choose him anytime. No, you won't. Your free will is under submission of God's sovereign grace. You can't out-choose God. You can't outplay God. and as Rob and I were talking a little bit this morning, you know, when the church is raptured out of here, you're done. There is no second chance salvation. You're done. If you hear the gospel message and you reject it, this is a very clear understanding. When they reject, wipe the sandals off, they're done. When you, man, don't reject them. That's scary territory to be in. Now, how do I know somebody has completely rejected Christ? God could be working with someone's heart. Somebody could be under conviction and they're just fighting God. Any of you fight their God in the calling of God in your life? There are many testimonies. You know, I knew that mom was praying, grandma was praying, everybody I know was praying, and I was fighting against it. You know, you get those concepts. But listen, a total, complete rejection of Christ is a life lived for Satan. It's a life lived that you're going to live that life of the world. You're going to rather have the world. You want the world. You love the world. You're going to live in the world and love it. That's the rejection of Christ. So Christians, we should not be as much as the world is and looking like the evil. We should not be. That's why our lives are so important. It's not just a good idea as his representative to live a life that he would want us to live. It's we are there to prove that we haven't rejected him. Because listen, you're not going to listen to somebody's message if you see them down doing things at the local pub, or if you see them saying things that are very, very wrong and off color, and then they're going to come tell you about their great God? Really? You see, you can't have the best of both worlds. And I can't even imagine how people think the best of this world is a good period. It's all they're going to have. You see, we need to understand that the message you should repent should be out there, and we need to be that representative. As a result, belonging to God, the power of God was revealed by what they accomplished. Notice in verse 13, cast out many demons. Wednesday night we talked about that. When they tried to, those who portrayed to be, tried to cast out demons, and the demons looked at them in Acts and said, "Who are you? Christ I know, Paul I know, who are you?" And they went in and they destroyed them. Listen, there are a lot of self-proclaimers out there today. We need to be careful. These men cast out the devils, anointed many that were sick, and healed them. That was not because it was one of the 12. That was not because one of the 12 said, "Look at me, I did this." It was because I'm coming as a representative of Christ. Here's my proof. Go walk. Go see. Demon, leave. As a representative of Jesus Christ. We have gotten away from that a lot in today's Christendom. Because a lot of ministries are built upon, wow, that preacher's good. Wow, that church has all these things for me to do. Wow, look at all the fun stuff. Wow, look at the listen to the music. Wow, look at, listen, we've gotten so far off course of preach repentance. We've got so far off course of just what the true meaning of this mission is all about. And folks, we need to get that back. We need to bring that mission back in our heart and our life. We need to realize that the power of God is revealed in our life by what we accomplish. It's the same message to you and me today. What are you accomplishing? How are you living? How is your joy being made known? Listen, some people think I'm absolutely crazy because I'm always smiling. I'm always walking around. I'm whistling through the hospital. People look at me like, what's wrong with you? It's because I got a joy. Listen, why? Because I'm a representative of Christ. And I don't know anywhere in Scripture except the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed to his Father, did Christ not have joy? You see, as his representative, we need to represent him, right? Our opinion don't matter. But it hurts. Oh, well, like I told my kids, life's hard. Get a hard hat. It hurts. Sometimes we got to realize that because we live in this world, we're going to be affected. But don't let this world affect your joy. Don't let it stop you from accomplishing. That's how they know you're changed. It's by what you accomplish for Christ. You see, as these men finish this, and again, we start in verse 14 and we hear this now, John the story of John the Baptist, pick it back up in 30, and the apostles in verse 30 gathered himself together unto Jesus and told him all the things both that they had done and what they had taught. We're going to pick that back up in a couple weeks, but today we have valuable lessons to learn, don't we? On the sending out on the mission. First of all, once saved, you are on a life mission as a representative of Christ. Listen, that doesn't change, folks. Once you're saved, you can't be all fired up and all fired up for God and everything's going well, and then life comes in or situations come in, things come in, and all of a sudden now it's like, well, I didn't sign up for this one. Listen, God's the only one who can read the fine print of what's going to happen in your life. You're not going to read that fine print. God has a plan. Remember, God provides. Remember, God is going to send you out. He's going to provide what you need for your life journey mission. It's not just a one and done. This is the everyday life that we need to continue to have. Second thing we need to understand, there are times you will be rejected on your life mission. Be rejected because you're speaking Christ. And I'm going to go bold. Don't be rejected just because you're a jerk. Be rejected because you're preaching Christ. And that too tells a lot. Sometimes we live a life that we need to be rejected, you know, by what we're saying, what we're doing, how we're responding, how we're acting. But man, if you're just out there preaching Christ and you're rejected, hallelujah, good deal, man. Why? Because they saw Christ in you. That's your whole mission. That's the way it needs to be and should be. The last one, what would be your list of results today? What do you got? If you was to die right now today and you would stand before God and he would say, show me your list. What do you got? What's on your list? What things do you have that prove you're saved? What things do you have that prove you're on a mission and a representative of Christ? Listen, man, we got to work on that list, don't we? We got to work on that because I'm not a prophet. I'm not saying anybody here is going to die today, but somebody may die today. And that list may be required today. For me, when I thought of this and I prepared all this in my mind and my heart, I'm like, man, how many years have I wasted by not building that list? How many times in my life I could have done better? How many times in my life that I should have done better? And my list is short compared to how long it should be. And I hope you have the same thought process. How many years have we wasted? How many years could we have built that list? But you know what's great about God? God says, forget about past. Let's work on tomorrow. Forget about what's happened already. Forget about it. Just go forward. And I'll tell you, that's the greatest thought and the greatest hope we have, that God holds nothing of our past against us. And we have a whole future, all the days and all the breaths from this moment on that God is going to give us to build that list. Build your list. See what you can do for God. See what representative things to prove that you've got the power of God in your life. And I'm going to tell you, when that happens, things will happen. Things will begin to, around you, fall into place. Ministries, things you've never thought you were capable of doing, you'll be able to do. Things that will come your way that you didn't expect. And it's not that God is going to say, listen, you do this and I'll bless you. But he did say, you bless me, I'll bless you. But we don't do them for the blessings. Why? Because we're doing them. We got the greatest blessing. Our names are written in the book of life. You can't get a better blessing. Everything else underneath that is just a bonus. Man, represent them well. We need a group of people. Paul was one of them, but God originally only used 12 to turn the world upside right. Can you imagine what a whole congregation could do in the communities that we live in? And that's the important part. Man, we need to learn our lessons as they learned them today. Let's pray. God, we come to you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that you do in us and through us. And Lord, I pray that this is just a good reminder, just an encouraging time together around your word. Because God, you do send us out, and God, you do have a purpose in our lives, and sometimes we get distracted with all the other things that go on in our lives, and we could be doing a lot of good things, but Satan just wants to keep us busy, and Father, busy we can be, God, I pray that we continue just to build our list so that we can present it to you in a life lived that represents you well. God, we just thank you and praise you for your love. We praise you for the power that you allow us and the gifts that you give us. And God, but for most of all, we thank you for being simply who you are, because that's enough. And God, we just lift it to you today in your son's name. Amen. As we close our